Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
She risked her own life to save mine. And right now, the only thing that will save her is in his memory. We have to get them back.
You are serious? You want to save her?
Yes. Yes, we have to try.
Then we do it now. Before the next forgetting starts. And we lose our convictions.
Suddenly you're okay with this?
You are guided by your emotions. They are your truth. I find them convincing. The totem teaches that we live in each moment. Embrace them. If this is your moment, then I will help.
Yes, this is my moment.
Shaking out the hands, shaking out the cuffs, you're shaking out the sillies.
I'm keeping them. I'm saving up my sillies.
Saving up some sillies.
A million marmosets make a mess on Monday. A million marmosets make a mess on Monday.
That's a lot of mess.
That is a lot of mess.
A million marmosets make a mess on Mondays.
All right.
Mwah, 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 mwah.
Okay, yeah. Let's do some
Monday marmalade.
Let's do some podcasting. Let's do some It's Got Star Trek podcasting.
Can we do some freestyle podcasting?
We're going to do some freestyle podcasting today. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. Good afternoon.
Hello, good evening.
Good morning.
And welcome. That's whatever, a Madness song. Goes, hello, good evening, and welcome.
Oh, what song?
I think that's how it goes. It's a Madness song.
Oh, Madness.
Yeah.
Well, hello, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. This is episode 194 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Oh my God, just six more.
Oh man.
Oh, six more. Yes, just six more. That's it. Then that's it, right?
That's it.
Or do you mean six more until we get to episode 200?
You know what I meant.
Sometimes I'm not sure, man.
Well, yeah, it's true.
We are approaching episode 200. And we will have a brief celebration. Well, I don't know, maybe not so brief.
Maybe we'll have an elongated. Yeah, I got hung up there because I was thinking about how you kept saying like imbriefened or something.
Ah, yes.
When did you say that?
On the last couple of podcasts.
I've been referring to, because the previous two podcasts were sort of, we had to catch up. You had to catch up on those things.
You
we
kept
had
saying
to...
imbriefened?
Imbriefened.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Where were we? Yes. 200th episode coming up. We are going to do a special episode there. If you are so inclined.
Like a very special episode?
We would.
Like Blossom when she would have sex or something?
When just every single time Blossom had sex.
It was a very special episode.
It was a very special
episode.
It was like a two-parter.
Yeah.
All right. No. It very special. It'll at a minimum our 200th episode will be special. Whether or not it'll be very special will depend on our audience.
I thought you were going to point at me and being like, it's up to me and I mean, to fuck it up.
To be fair, it is probably in part up to you.
Well, in part.
But
we should do a two-part 200th episode and make that second one still be like part of the 200th episode just to mess with people.
Okay. Well,
wait, what did you just say?
We'll take that under consideration.
Well,
instead of counting it as the 201st episode, we could just count. No, that's part two.
Part two?
Of the 200th episode. Oh,
that would be fucked up. Or yeah. Should we do it like the years and say, like, we don't hit the 21st century until 2001?
No.
Well, I mean, no, I don't even want to get into that.
I know.
I'm not going to get into that.
I'm not pointing it out like, actually, guys, you know. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to call 2000 21st century, and I'm going to keep doing it. But
okay. No, I do not want to have... I mean, I do want to have this argument, but...
I understand the reasons, and it's a good reason, but that's not what people...
I don't want to have this argument.
I'm making us have this argument now.
We're not having the argument. I'm not responding.
There's no year zero.
I'm just saying, we're encouraging our audience...
Now I want to know Patrick's opinion on
to
it.
...to send us emails...
Are you for it or against it?
To send us emails or audio recordings, even better, audio recordings, if you can manage it. Maybe we'll figure out a way to make it easy for you all. But in the meantime, if you can manage shooting us an audio recording or an email with, I don't know, questions, comments, any business, anything you might want us to cover.
How
on
you
the
feel
200th
about
episode.
200 episodes.
I bet Patrick would be for the idea of calling the year 2000 the 21st century simply because it's a more socially sort of accepted thing, which is what language tends to dictate.
Now I think Dan is using some clever psychology to try to trick me into responding.
Oh, so you think it's 2001?
No, you're still trying to trick me into having a discussion about a topic that is irrelevant to this episode of the podcast.
I understand that it makes, it's like...
Who talks about the year 2000?
I mean, it makes more sense with whatever, with 2001 is the 21st or whatever, but it's 2000 because that's what everyone calls it and that's what everyone understands, yeah. So why fuck with it?
All right.
It's not that egregious to call it 1 year off.
This is the 194th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We have a couple announcements before we get into the actual episode. Announcement number one, on last week's episode, I think it was episode 9 of the Crusher Convo, I was a guest. I was a guest host.
You were a guest?
I was a guest. I joined them for their discussion of TNG's The Game, and we had a fucking blast. It was a wonderful, awesome conversation. Everyone, please go check out Crusher Convo. All their episodes are great, but if you want an entry point, hey, you can check out the one that I got to hang out on, because it was really cool. And The Game is a fun episode to discuss, so go check that out. Also, coming up soon, I think in the next couple weeks, I joined the Tasmanian gentleman down in Tasmania.
The Tasmanian Tasmanian? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I said I was joined the fun fellas down at the Unplanned Trek. So that episode.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because that's how they say it. They say Unplanned Trek. Sometimes they say it even longer.
I don't think they say it like you did.
Well, I mean, they say it better than I did because it's their podcast. But anyway, I got to join that podcast, so that should be a good one. So that one's coming up. So anyway, all sorts of fun stuff going on. So those are the main announcements. That now we can get straight into the discussion of Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 2, Episode 4. Among the Lotus Eaters. I got it right this time. Among the Lotus Eaters.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Among.
Good. Feels right.
Okay, what did you think about this episode?
I can tell you who did not like this episode. My cats did not like this episode.
Oh,
because of the fucking ringing.
The ringing.
Every time they freaked the fuck out. They were like looking around. Like one of them would just like look around and then like leave the room. The other one kept looking behind like where the furnace is. And it was all freaking
out. I was going to ask about what people thought about, what you all thought about the whole ringing noise. Because when I watched this episode, I watched it a few times in a row. It did not bother me. But then I started reading online, a number of people were saying like it was like really bad or really bothering people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that depends on like
what your sound system is like,
or maybe we have tinnitus or whatever.
I was actually gonna ask you guys how you pronounce that word, because
tinnitus versus tinnitus.
Because Mbenga says tinnitus and yeah. Chapel says tinnitus.
Yeah.
And I used to say tinnitus, but
I
used to say tinnitus, but then later on I migrated over tinnitus, and so I say tinnitus now.
Yes, well, I followed the
and
same
tomato
path
tomato
as you
isn't
did.
A proper comparison because nobody says tomato.
I followed the same path as you.
So I'm sure there are people who say tomato, but
I think they're all dead.
But I think it's... I think people say it when they live in an area where that's an acceptable place. That's... I'm sort of not making my point.
The tinnitus is a perfectly reasonable way to pronounce it. But tinnitus, so, I've sure, also heard tinnitus.
So if
I
somebody,
don't believe that's how Dan pronounced.
If somebody said to me, some people say aluminum and some people say aluminium, I wouldn't scoff and be like, whatever, because people do say aluminium because it's part of their language.
True. Or laboratory.
And in that sense, tomato might be a part of someone's language. But if you're talking about somebody who already says tomato, there's not going to be a... So
what was the question you asked us about the thing? And we we're all like tinnitus people.
If you're in an area, if you're living in an area where someone says tomato, there's not going to be a high probability that he's going to be surrounded by people that say tomato. They're all going to say it in one location. Whereas with tinnitus, you could go next to your next door neighbor and find someone who says tinnitus.
All right, but I was curious where you were going with that.
I'm pretty sure nobody says potato.
Exactly. Well, okay, there we go. Even better. Like,
there might be somebody that says tomato. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Nobody ever said potato.
That's a better example, Jesse. Thank you. It didn't require the long explanation that I had to give to qualify what I was saying.
Okay.
Without being exclusionary.
So, I'm not entirely clear what point we made there, but yes.
Tinnitus, episode bothering people, ways. The sound.
There are multiple pronunciations of that particular word, and the episode itself may have, in with some small amount of irony, caused tinnitus in some yeah. of its audience members. I didn't have that.
Anything else would be a crime against tomatoes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, why don't we start at the start? Because this whole episode is sort of framed by good old Captain Pike.
Rigel Seven.
Hanging out.
He's still hanging out with that other captain lady.
Yes, and he clearly has a connection with Captain Patel. I don't. Have we heard her first name? I don't know if we have a first name.
I don't believe so. I haven't.
Anyway. Well, so Captain Patel and.
What's a pilot?
Pike. Yes. There's this tension here because they have the typical, I mean, maybe it's not fair to say typical, but they get that whole we're too busy professionals and we don't have enough time to see each other, but we want to see each other. That whole gimmick, right? Mm-hmm. And in this case, Pike is the one who's like, oh, I'm Captain Pike. We should slow this down or whatever. Now I'm sure it's from,
he's running away from commitment.
Well, it's what I kind of find interesting about the framing of this, because
his reason makes sense in a way.
I'm sort of understanding. He seems to feel guilty that he's interfering with her career.
Right. That fucking bastard, William Geary, took her spot. Yeah. As Commodore. Mm.
Because of what was it? Because of Vice Admiral Psak.
Nobody likes that guy.
Psak.
Yeah, you guys kind of a dick.
But she had just given him, though, an Opelian Mariner's keystone from Galt, so maybe she was offended that was his response.
So is that like an alien planet, I'm guessing?
Opelian? Opelia?
I was trying to say, is this some sort of ancient Earth thing, or is this some alien thing? At first I thought it was like some ancient Earth thing, and then I was like, oh, maybe some like alien thing. I don't know. I couldn't place the particular thing.
I don't know.
But I was sort of curious about different opinions out there on Pike's behavior, because on the one hand it seems sort of semi-justified, although on the other hand it's also like Pike assuming is like, without even talking about it, right? He didn't like go to Captain Patel and say like, hey, can we talk about this? Am I negatively affecting your career?
Which would why it would indicate that it was him being scared of commitment.
It was him being more, I agree. I think it was more of him being scared of commitment and or scared of the responsibility of potentially impacting somebody else's life, right? Because I think that's something that comes up a lot with people who are shy away from serious relationships. It's because they're like, oh no, I might actually impact somebody else's life in potentially positive and negative ways. Mm-hmm. Sort of an interesting framing device.
You're talking about love.
For this whole episode. Now, I think more broadly speaking, apparently a lot of people were not super into this episode online. Some people thought this was a bit of a downer. I personally...
A downer? That was
not
the
a downer. It's not... I chose an inappropriate adjective. I picked the wrong fucking adjective.
It's okay.
Okay.
We're all human.
They thought it was not like a shitty episode, but not as interesting maybe as a few of the other
episodes. I wish they focused a little less on the adventure aspect and more about the concept of only being guided by emotions. Yeah. And this idea, which is an interesting idea of like, you know, you can't hold on to memories. And part of the reason for that is because your logic is gone, which is like a kind of bizarre, but like, I'm going with it. Sure. Why not? And, so now you're living life without sort of reason and logic, and you're guiding, doing everything based upon emotion is kind of like what they kept talking about, which made me think like if everyone was going off emotion, they would probably spend more time being like freaked out and angry, but they were more like zombies, which I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna say I would know either way how it would go, but sure, I'll buy the zombie wandering around thing. But like that Luck dude, Luke, whatever his name was.
Luke.
I guess
it was spelled like Luck.
Yeah, I don't remember them saying his name. I just looked up the
stone. He said his name.
Okay, Luke.
He said he had, he looked at his tattoos and that's how he knew his name was Luke.
Right, okay. And so he was like super calm and very sort of like balanced for somebody who was living their life based on emotions. I don't know.
Everyone seemed to be like that. And
But I wish they explored that idea more with the characters and less adventure, get to the thing.
I can see. I mean, to me, I really enjoyed this episode. I think partly because it felt...
I did enjoy it, though.
It felt like the
these
most,
are just,
like...
These are just the things that I kind of wish they did more of, but yeah, like, I did enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's kind of interesting because, I definitely fully respect folks' varying reactions to what, any episode. For me, I thought this was a very, very, maybe it was like the most TOS style.
It was.
Of Strange New Worlds so far.
And I felt like that about some TOS episodes too. Though,
and so. Where it was dealing with something that was maybe not as complicated as it sort of came off to be. It was like, oh, what would life be like without like memories or whatever. It's like that sounds more interesting than it actually sort of turns out to be as they present it. But it was, what I'm saying is maybe they simplified it, they oversimplified it instead of examining that more, like you were suggesting. It's a very simple story idea. On the other hand, that's maybe what gives it a little bit of that TOS feel, because it's just like a very sort of binary idea. It's like, oh, no memory, and this is what life is like that.
And I actually agree with you that it does feel like I was thinking of TOS a lot when I was watching that. It did remind me of it in that sense. The whole not to sort of jump around too much, but this I think relates.
Jump around
what I thought of the episode.
Jump up and get down.
I love Ortegas, and like I was interested in that plot line, but I felt like it was kind of like I wanted more of that. And so what I'm saying here is I wanted more of one thing and I wanted more of other thing. I understand they have a time frame to fit in. We talked about this.
I just want to eat it all up.
We talked about this with Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
And Tomorrow.
And Tomorrow.
And Tomorrow.
And Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I was suggesting that I wonder if that would be good as a two-parter, and then Patrick's response was no. Now, as an aside, did you think that what about the Voyager episode? Did you think that should have been a one-parter?
What? Year of Hell?
No, the one with Sarah Silverman.
Oh, no, that one I thought worked. In fact, when that was Future's End, and we discussed Future's End not too long ago. What was that?
But there was some filler in that.
Okay. I think I probably made the comment in that episode, and I've made it in other episodes, that sometimes it feels like they have 1.5 episodes of story.
Yeah, right.
And now they can do that a little bit better on streaming services, because they're not tied into the...
So do you think that Future's Past should have been
Future's End.
Wrong. That was a wrong thing. Do you think that should have been more like 60 minutes then? Like, because
if that was on streaming, they probably would have cut like 10 or 15 minutes out of that two-part episode. There was some filler and fluff in there.
I mean, I get why they had the Ortegas thing in there, because it was a B plot. It went with the A plot, like with this radiation stuff. But like the whole sequence of her, being like, "I'm a pilot," was awesome.
Yeah,
but
I dug
it just
that.
Made me want more of that, more of like that kind of stuff. I don't know, but they got their point. They got their point across. So like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of ways where they could have done the rescue thing and sort of explored the emotion stuff, because I don't have a good answer to that. I'm just sitting here being like, well, I think they should have done this and this and this. Like, I don't fucking know. They did it. I enjoyed the episode, so I'm not really complaining. It's just, it was a neat idea that for some reason I felt like I wanted more of it. So.
Yeah, I can see that. For me, it's like, it was all fine, and I didn't really actually start thinking about it until I saw people online saying they thought it was either a little boring or a little slight or whatever like that.
I didn't think it was boring.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can see where people are maybe coming from, because it was sort of a very straightforward story, but I just thought, it was very nicely presented, it was well acted, they touched on a few different things going on here. With the whole Pike believing those three crew members of his were dead during the first trip to Rigel 7.
Zach's not dead.
No.
Yeah, Zach Nguyen was...
He didn't drive off a cliff in his compact.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a song from Zach's a band that nobody's
going to know.
Yeah.
the idea...
Dead Ant Farm, if you're interested.
Yes. Again, it's a very TOS idea that somebody's left behind and then they end up becoming the ruler of the local
community. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of...
He's wearing a crown. He's got his hair all long and he's all rocking out. That was a clever idea that maybe they could have done some more with, because we didn't see much of Zach, right? We see him sort of at the beginning and then at the end.
He kind of sucks.
It's High Lord Zacharias.
Yeah, it was. It was indeed. Good old High Lord Zacharias.
Feels right.
So there were a lot of ideas here that they touched on, but they didn't go deeply into. Mm-hmm. And I kind of didn't really notice that until I saw some of the critiques online. And going back and watching again, I was like, okay, I get
that. Is
that
kind of what people were saying online, what I was just saying?
Yeah.
Because I didn't...
I think people's reactions to it were varying, because for me, the production design, again, in this episode was just...
It was really nice to look at.
It was such a cool alien planet.
Yeah, I like when they're on an alien planet in the middle of this tundra kind of area. Like when they're in this big field and it goes on for miles and they're in the middle of it. It's like, oh, that's so huge. I'd be so scared of a monster.
And the big castle, the big like World Trade Center looking, like the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Really?
Really.
That would have been better if she was like, really? That would have been better.
The other thing that I think I really respect about this episode was they take that small little bit from The Cage, the unaired pilot. Mm-hmm. It's touched even more briefly upon in The Menagerie. Yes. Yes, John. In The Menagerie, they touched on it briefly too, because, you know, obviously pulling the footage from The Cage. They have this encounter that is clearly important in Pike's career. It factors into that. It figures into that pilot, that unaired pilot, The Cage. they expand it into this really clever sci-fi culture story with this asteroid and the radiation, and the people who live in the castle get to keep their memories, and the people who live outside the castle don't. Like, they didn't go into these ideas as deeply as they could, but they presented the ideas. That was at least fun. And I like the idea that they fill in that whole sort of backstory. They give us more information about that, the whole Rigel 7 business. And so that, for me, was also another fun part of watching the episode.
The officers that went down, only two of them were red shirts. One of them was a blue shirt. And the red shirt, one of them, Zach, didn't die. Zach's not dead. Yeah, but so that palace thing was a little... So the palace protects them from radiation.
Yeah.
But it still fucks them up. They still apparently get fucked up from the radiation, because like why did Zach go all crazy?
He seemed a little off, that guy.
Yeah, he seemed off. Like, I understand, like, you know, me being left behind will do things to a person, but it just...
Yeah.
But like, we're sort of led to believe that Starfleet, you know, and I mean, I know they're still human and stuff, but it was kind of like... That escalated quickly or whatever, you know, kind of thing. So, and plus he was also acting weird. Everyone was acting weird. And he even said, though, actually he even said, he's like, this planet, you know, fucks your shit up. And so maybe he was just saying, he meant outside the palace. He said the palace protected him from radiation, but it seemed like the radiation was still getting through some, because they were still fucked up in there being all weird.
I think there's a question as to...
It's the question.
Because yes, you're right. I agree. They made Zach look all like sweaty all the time and all frantic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, he could just, like, people are like that sometimes, especially if they're all, you know, being all megalomaniacal. So it could be that the radiation is affecting them to some low level degree, just a lower level than the people who are outside of the castle. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, at the end, Pike makes a point to be all like, no, you know, it sucks that you got left behind. Yeah. I'm sorry about that, but whatever you did after that, that's on you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So Pike certainly doesn't think that it was the radiation that was making Zach act like this crazy fool. Who knows? Maybe you could split the difference and say the radiation wasn't helping anything, but at his core, Zach was all about like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me a little gang of people and take over this whole culture. And
feels right.
Yeah, it does
like Apocalypse right, Now.
A box can't hold memories.
I really like this dude, by the way, because he was like,
you felt for that land totem story.
I had to like look at the closed captioning. I was like, did he just say lame? And he did. Yeah. He's like, you fell for that lame story. I was like, right on.
I know, right? Exactly. This guy's always like, a...
yeah. You fell for that lame story. Yeah, when they talked about the box holding memories, I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? Like, when they're out in the fields? Yeah. And it turns out, yeah, what the fuck were they talking about? They were talking about some nonsense, which I'm glad, because I was like, yeah. What are they talking about? Box of memories. Was that just a box of their stuff? I wasn't even really clear what that was.
It was some Starfleet.
Some Starfleet
gadgets.
Shit. So, yeah, they saw that he had a Starfleet laser. Originally, what I thought while I was watching the episode, I was like, oh, they got their lasers? Maybe, like, they already visited this place, but they forgot, and now they're coming back. But then I was like, no, by the end, they got their memories back. I was like, no, that's not what happened. So, in case you were wondering what I thought and then disproved myself, I could have kept that all inside, and no one would have known.
That's true. I think it's an interesting idea because they did introduce this idea of this lost time that people were experiencing. So you could have played around with that in some different ways.
That was
ways.
Cool.
I just want to say that I counted how many
Daniel
times
Schoenthaler.
How many times my cats would have freaked out if they were in the room the whole time, which they weren't.
Okay, so this
10 times.
What you're suggesting is that this is the equivalent to every single time they played the tinnitus sound effect.
Right. Yes, exactly. They said it 7 big times. They said it. They did it. They did it. They go and they went like, rah. They did it 7 big times. There were big. There were 7
big,
big ones. And there was 3 small ones.
How did you differentiate between big and small?
Jesse said 10, and actually you were right, Jesse. How did I differentiate? Like when it was like a scene cutting, like, rah. Like there was one time, but when the small ones, there. It's like you barely heard it. Like, there was one time where Pike was with Zach, and you saw him sort of like with his head, and the closed captioning even says this ringing sound's happening, and I was like, played it back. I was like, I don't really hear a ringing sound. And then there were 2 other times where they were just kind of like minor. The big ones is when it made everyone like black out and they're like, what's going on?
What's going on?
The small ones where they were just like, my head, you know, so... Wow. So Lon had it once, Mbenga had it once, Pike had it 3 times, Uhura had it once, and Una had it once. Mm. And then there's the 3 small times.
All right.
Okay.
Was that 7 people that you named there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that I named.
But then Pike had it 3 times, and everyone else had it once.
Correct.
Got it. So Pike 3, and then 4 people had it once. So 3 plus 4 is 7, and then the 3 minor times.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
One of which was also Pike.
All right. Well, we got that all cleared up.
Okay, we can move on. I can cross that one.
Now that we got that cleared up, how about this? We take a quick break, and when we return from that break, we will continue this discussion.
That sounds like a great idea.
Right. It sure does.
We will be in that case, we will be right back. Okay, we have returned. We have returned.
We decided to return.
From the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
From a break.
We could have ended it just then, but we decided to keep going.
Yeah.
And it's a break that we took.
2 hours ago?
No. It wasn't 2 hours ago.
Lost
Uhura.
It could have been.
I do think perhaps if I'm now granted.
It wasn't.
I am not a medical doctor, but I do think that if I'm on an away team... And one member of my away team, a person who I know very well and who is a tough, rugged person who can handle a lot of things. If that person is telling me that they have lost time and
yes.
hear a horrifying ringing in their ears and have a migraine, I might be concerned about that. Or more concerned even than Mbenga was. Now, to his credit, Dr. Mbenga was definitely concerned when Laan was showing these symptoms, but I don't know. I maybe would have leaned more on the, you know what? I think we should hold back. There doesn't seem to be a mega rush on this mission. This is not like an emergency mission, right? I mean, I know that it's an emergency mission, but they don't need to be
taking their time.
She did seem like pretty fucked up. I mean, when Uhura was like being like, what the fuck, 2 hours ago? Like, yeah. Una was immediately like...
She
was like...
Una was like, you're getting into sickbay.
Yeah, right.
Something's fucking
now,
wrong.
Now, granted, it's easier for their situation to do it. They had a lot at stake here, but yes. But still.
Yeah.
If only he were watching the episode like us, though, because then he would have had a reason to turn around.
Because he would have complained about how high-pitched the thing was.
Yeah, I was going to say
he would have heard it. Like when he's looking over at Laan And she's all like, ah, you know, because if he that was watching true. The TV, he would have heard it.
I was gonna,
because it's on the TV.
Right. That's a good reason too. I was gonna say that because like we even saw it happening tells us that something means something.
Yeah. We saw it and heard it happening.
We saw it and heard it happening. That's how we knew that it was gonna be a problem later, because that's how stories work.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, some people at home, some people in the audience might be saying, hey, it's got Star Trek, guys.
Hey,
Dan, Jesse, and Patrick.
Hey, Dan.
What are you even talking about? Characters can't be watching their own show. But
well, it's
right now.
It's not true. Because in Star Trek, there are many examples where characters are watching their own show. There's like the menagerie where they're all like watching the cage. And then there's the encounter at Farpoint where in part two of the encounter in Farpoint, Commander Riker watches a highlight reel from part one in order to kind of get caught up on the plot.
Don't do that.
I watch that as well.
So it's totally possible that they could be, you know, they could have like a Mr. VHS or Mr. VCR or whatever, like from Spaceballs.
Right.
Where then, when will then be now? Soon, you know, when they can watch, you know, the instant video cassettes. Anyway, you just go watch Spaceballs and you'll get the joke.
You did that thing you do.
Yes. Doing that thing you do.
That was blasting.
that was blasting. Yes, well, we did briefly touch on previously Una calling Pike out on sort of having a, you know, commitment issue.
Property of the archaeology.
Sorry. I switched playlists on Winamp and it automatically plays the first one for some reason.
All right. Well, that was from the previous episode.
You were talking about Una and there was like an awesome line she gave last episode that I had to play.
All right.
Is there a statute of limitations on plundering antiquities?
I don't know. Everything about that delivery, I think it's amazing. Yeah. It's so deliberate.
You're clicking all sorts of buttons tonight, buddy. You're Mr. Button Buddy.
You did that thing you do.
Yes. Doing that thing you do. What a silly song. But it's catchy.
Who is that? The Wonders?
The Wonders.
Yeah. It's spelled like...
Like one.
The Oneaters.
The Oneaters, right? That was the joke, right?
Ah, yes. That's a classic song from the movie.
From the movie.
The titular movie. That Thing You Do. With Thomas Hanks.
Thomas Hanks. Nobody calls him that. I bet his last name is really Hankerson. And his name is Thomas L. Hankerson. Leonard Hankerson.
Who else was in that movie?
Thomas Leonard Hankerson.
Liv Tyler.
Elizabeth Jane Tyler. Elizabeth Jennifer Tyler.
All right.
Thomas Leonard Hankerson.
This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and we are indeed discussing
Eduardo Sanchez.
Strange New Worlds, Season 2, Episode 4. Among the Lotus Eaters.
Do you know the significance of the name Eduardo Sanchez? He was a director of this episode.
Oh, yes. In that context, yes. He was the director of the episode.
Yeah.
100% absolutely.
I thought you were doing a bit.
Yeah, nope, I also thought this was going to be some vaudeville bit that we were being walked down.
We were just naming names, and then I saw that I wrote down the name Eduardo Sanchez as the director.
Right.
So I figured it sort of segued.
Here's how about this for a non segue segue?
Fuck.
I wanted to mention about how we did discuss that this episode had a very TOS feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it had a bit of a 90s Trek feel to it. With the participation of it's the classic, and I mentioned this I think last episode. I love Star Trek episodes that have a local interlocutor, somebody who shows the person the ropes of whatever the scenario.
A local locutus.
Well, like in this case, it's that Luke fella, right? Mm-hmm. It's that sort
a local
of, you
Luke.
See, you see that a lot. In Deep Space Nine, you had Chief O'Brien with Bilby. Right?
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien.
Voyager, the Resistance. Bilby. There's that guy, I forget his name, the crazy kooky guy.
Bilby.
In Resistance, in that really upsetting Voyager episode. Very good episode, but it was upsetting. It had nothing to do with the Borg either.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Like when the characters go into an alien planet or travel back in time or whatever it is, and then they meet that one person. That's like the 90s Trek style.
That's exactly what I was talking about for Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, and that's what I was saying.
And I brought this up last episode when we discussed Tomorrow
and Tomorrow.
And
that's what Sarah was, except they turned it all on its head.
They flipped it.
They backwards reversed it. Yeah, flipped it, reversed it.
You're flipping it. But they, but this episode,
and tomorrow,
this episode, in contrast to the last episode, I think was even more so like that, because I think this character, this actor they got, this Luke fella, was really hardcore into like, here I am. I'm a nice guy. Here's some crazy people stuck in a cage. I'm gonna help them out because I know you're good people. And this is a tricky business that we find ourselves in with this whole forgetting business.
We have forgettings.
And then
tonight your forgetting will be easier.
Yes.
Every night we have our forgetting.
The forgetting is a blessing. It's something the forgetting can't take from you.
How many times did people say the forgetting?
Oh, that's a good question. I can find that out right quick for
you. I'm shocked that you don't have that number handy.
It's like your kind of number.
Yeah.
Actually, they only say the forgetting 3 times.
Really?
How many times do they say forget, though?
Some variation. That's some really derivation. What I mean. Like all those tapes you just played.
So some derivation of forget, including forgetting.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say, because it gives me the number, but some of those are for stuff that aren't quite on, that are like in some kind of side ad. So minus 2 of them is 18. 18. There's 18 times they have forgetting, something like that. So 18, that's a hefty number.
That's a good number.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
Now, how many times do you have to divide it down to get prime numbers? 18 divided by, 3.
3 is a prime number.
3 times 6.
3 is a prime number.
3 times what? Three times eight.
Three is a prime.
Two times nine. Two times three.
Three is a prime number.
Yes.
We already found it in the first one.
What?
You said 3 times 6. And then I was like, three is a prime number. You said, how far do we have to go down? Then you were immediately like 3 times 6. I was like, 3 is prime. You just did it.
Yeah. Yeah. 3 times 3 times 2 times 3.
I don't know what you're doing at this point.
Prime factorial.
Now I don't even know what you're talking about. Right. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but why? I don't know why he's talking about
this. I was just trying to look.
I think why.
Audience, in a previous episode, not too long ago, we discovered that Dan has an affinity for prime numbers. That's cool.
So you're talking about love.
Yes, in a way, because now I'm trying to, I'm not as into prime numbers, but I think they're cool. And so I'm trying to connect more with Dan. By showing an interest in something that he has an interest in and that he can teach me more about, right? He can teach me about what's so wonderful about prime numbers.
You did that thing you do. Doing that thing you do.
Okay, but yes, I love my local interlocutors.
Characters. They're fun. They provide a connection. They provide a bridge.
And I thought this guy was a really good one. In classic Star Trek style, I think it's another thing that I really enjoyed about this episode was this guy was being nice to them. He was helping them out. He went against even his own advice. Because he was
because he believed in love.
Exactly.
Or he believed in people's truth.
He was all about going for the sort of emotional, philosophical option rather than the practical. The practical option would be like to keep his head down and not get involved with these strange people who are clearly going to fuck up his shit. But they fucked up his shit in a good way. And the ending...
Star Trek.
Yes.
Stop saying I'm going to die.
He wasn't very helpful when he was like talking that.
Yeah.
But in a way, I can see it. It's like, it's time to go. It's a very, good way to look. But she wasn't wanting to hear that.
Well,
right
and now. That's, again, you talked about it, Dan, about how it would be nice if they found a way to go a little bit deeper. But they touched on this whole thing with I guess one of the deeper things in this episode is this guy having this... making this assertion that he doesn't want to have his memories back because he's like, the pain is, I'm scared of the pain. I don't want to know what the deal is.
And there's a payoff too. Cause at the end he's all like,
and he changes his mind. He realizes it is fucked up to not know what weight you're carrying.
So they did explore that character. Now what they did briefly with Pike at the end where he was like wailing on Zach. And so like that was kind of like a clue in because Pike, that's when Pike started going, it tells you who you really are. this planet. And because I guess that's some type of philosophical commentary on like we are our emotions or something. I don't know.
He was really beating on that guy. He like took a break and like went back to beating on him.
Yeah. That's
what, like, I need our memories.
Yeah. So, right.
Get off my plane.
So I guess that was supposed to be Pike's, like, his demons coming out or something, which it would have been interesting to see, like, a Star Trek character, an Enterprise character, a crew character, a Starfleet character. That's what I'm looking for. Right.
So you're not referring to somebody on the TV show Enterprise.
Right, right. That'd be awesome if Archer...
merely on the ship Enterprise.
If Archer made a cameo.
I mean, Archer did kick the shit out of people occasionally, but he sort of made no bones about it, because he was like, I'm a... old school human. I got a baseball cap and I'm gonna beat the fuck out of this guy who's tied to a chair.
Exactly. So yeah, like the way they explored Luke, I would have liked them to explore more on perhaps Pike. Like when he started beating that, I was like, ooh, what are we seeing about Pike? What's now? Maybe some people complain that wasn't like Pike-like or not, but I feel like, I don't know if anyone complained about that, but I imagine someone must be like, that's not how Pike is. But like the way I see it is that's it's sort of stripping away like your better senses and, you know, and showing you like your tendencies. And you can be a great guy and have these tendencies you just have, but you don't. We all have our tendencies. It's just a matter of if we're able to overcome them. How would we be able to face those tendencies in a situation like this? And I would like to see a little more of that.
Right. I like how you say tendencies because you kept saying it over and over.
Tendencies. Toboggan. Tendencies. Toboggan. Toboggan.
Pike.
What's that called? What? The word for when a thing... the word loses all meaning.
Oh, yeah. There's a term for that we keep forgetting.
Yeah.
And then people write in and tell us what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I, every time somebody...
Because they went to college.
Because, like, I always think of nominative determinism. I always think of nominative determinism, but it's not nominative determinism. Nominative determinism is the idea... that what something is named after is... what something is named will influence the future of that thing. So if you name somebody like Super Duper Rad Man, then
he's gonna rule.
They might grow up to be like a Super Duper Rad Man
or a killer.
Yeah. That's super duper nominative determinism. But
that's not what I was talking about.
It has absolutely nothing to do with what you're talking about.
Now you're talking about like language, and if people don't have a spoken language, how does that change the meaning of the things that
they
think about?
That's not what I was talking about. So now
it's like, what's a rock when you don't know what a rock's called, you know?
Okay, that has nothing to do with what
that's,
I was
that's
talking
kind
about.
Of, no, that's it kind of does, because if you name a rock, you can define it you can put it in a box.
No,
and now it holds meaning and it gains sort of based on that meaning.
The concept you're describing is true. It's just not related to nominative determinism.
Okay, Mr. Jargon Man.
Which is a very specific thing. All right. Now that we both agree that we're not talking about anything related to what we're talking about.
So nominative determinism just has to do with people, but like what I'm talking about is like the same principle except applied to like just everything.
No. Nominative determinism says you name something and because of the name, it affects the life of that
people
person.
People tend to gravitate towards areas of work that fit their name.
If you name a rock a flower, it's not going to act like a flower.
Right.
But if you name a person Slowpoke... they might grow up to be a slowpoke.
Right, but it's kind of like that in the sense that the name that we apply to something else changes how we treat that something else, which is determinism is like, I will do something differently based upon what people call me. What I'm talking about is like, a rock is going to look different to a person. A rock is going to be a different thing to a person because that person called it a rock.
Then you'll have to come up with a clever name for that very interesting and super cool idea that you're right. But if there's not a name for it, you'll have to come up with it. It's just not nominative determinism.
Poopy Doopy.
All right.
Can I call it Poopy Doopy?
We can call it Poopy Doopy McMoopy Moops.
Whoa.
If you like.
That's crazy.
I mean, this is just a negotiation.
Who wins? What do we
Nobody
win?
Wins.
Living in society with humans is a daily negotiation on all manner of things.
There are only a handful of people in the galaxy who get what it is to be a Starfleet captain.
Get what it is to be.
That our duties come first.
Duties
come first.
Yeah, duties. Okay.
Duties come first.
Yeah. I figured you'd be playing that. Yes.
Yes.
We were talking about.
We were about to start Star Trek.
Something.
What were we talking about? Okay. Well, we can talk more about Luke. He said that we don't lose the deeply known things, walking, talking, other things.
He didn't say it like that though. You're using a weird cadence.
Okay.
Bing, 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 making me a little nervous.
Hey, the internet from 20 years called. They want their meme ago. Back before they were called memes.
Yeah.
This is longer than 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Probably, yes. Squeeze!
Okay, we don't lose the deeply known things, walking, talking, other things deep inside of us. But the remembered things, who we are, where we love, those go away. Is it like that?
Jesse, what are we going to do with this guy? Or what are we going to do with him?
I wish I could know. I wish I knew.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
We'll have to do some sort of intervention.
So he was saying...
It's like, Dan, you gotta keep screaming squee at people.
Squee! So it says, who we are, where we live, those go away. But yeah. We remember the instinctual kind of... Ooh, I whistled. Instinctual kind of impulsive things.
What are you, a beaver?
Call me Mr. Beaver Man.
Yes.
So, I get it, right? It's like these things that are instinctual. You just know how to do, right? I get that. But I was having a little hard time believing that people forgot how to read. I get it. That's the logical part of your brain. That's the deciphering part of your brain. But reading becomes like second nature after you've done. Like, if Ortegas is gonna like be able to still fly, she's probably still gonna be able to read. Although you could say like, well, that's just how much of a natural flyer she is. I believe that. Mm-hmm. And to pick hairs about something that doesn't matter. To pick hairs.
Is that an aphorism?
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Split hairs.
Oh, just split
hairs.
Split hairs.
Pick hairs. That sounds pick gross. Hairs.
Well, it's funny, too, because it could be picking hairs as in plucking them out, but it could also be picking hairs as in selecting among a number of different hairs.
It's like strands of hair. Yeah, like, Dan you can pick seven of these strands of hair.
Dan has a pillowcase full of hair.
Ugh.
He's gonna select a couple hairs. But anyway, he did not mean that. He meant split hairs.
Like, could you imagine making like a scarf or a sweater out of like out of the lint in your dryer? People do that. You know?
Dan's selection.
Anyways, so it doesn't matter. I'm splitting hairs. It doesn't affect anything. It's something not worth being worried about. I was just thinking, like, you know, I think they could probably still be able to read. I think they could still be able to
there
read.
Is.
I get what they're saying. It's the logical side, think it's innate enough for people who do it for years.
Your observation has value.
Although that episode of Batman the Animated Series told us that we can't read in dreams.
Okay. You're...
So there's that.
Leaving aside the wayward reference... to Batman the Animated Series.
It's about reading and where you can and cannot do it.
There is an internal disconnect, I feel, in this episode, in that Spock is unable to read his pad, but Luke is able to read his tattoos. Because
I didn't even think about that.
I didn't even think about that.
Jesse's having a hoot and a holler over there.
No.
The tattoos appeared to be some sort of alien script to me. They did not appear to be pictograms. Now, maybe they were, and I just wasn't looking close enough.
Yeah.
Or they were abstract enough. But if he says his name is Luke, presumably there is some language that is spelling out Luke, because you can't, even pictograms are not immediately going to make the Luke. I mean, those are letters.
You're talking
right?
about love.
Or letters in this case.
Oh yeah.
So thing. Yes, there is a bit of an disconnect.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. The whole where do you draw the line between what you can and cannot remember?
So you can't read, but you can talk, right?
Right.
Ortegas was able to suss out who she was by accidentally sort of interacting with the Enterprise computer.
I'm a pilot.
What's a pilot?
I wish that sound was better quality.
Pilot. What's a pilot?
What's a pilot? Well,
they're in a car, like driving around.
That is a line from Pulp Fiction, spoken by John Travolta.
I'm a pilot.
The hat is supreme.
The hat is supreme.
She was so into doing that.
And it turned out she was right in a sense, because the people wearing the helmets, you know, were able to have the head protected.
Mm-hmm.
People noted that it was almost like an unused Chekhov's gun. This is some people commenting on social media who noted that she mentioned the hat and it would have been cool if the hat solved the problem.
Instead it was his Opelian sea compass or whatever. What was it?
I think it was just a medallion. I don't think it was a sea compass.
It was a keystone. I thought it was a sea compass. Whatever. Same shit.
A sea compass as opposed to land compass.
It led him home. All right. Either way, it led him home.
Yes, it did indeed.
You're talking about love.
Yes. And a lot of us have been talking about love on this episode. I think it's kind of interesting and kind of awesome that okay, imagine this. Imagine that you...
No. Don't tell me what to do.
I'm suggesting, not insisting. I'm suggesting that you imagine that your romantic
because
partner...
Because you asked nicely. It's amazing what I'll respond to and do for you if you present it as a polite request.
It is amazing what you'll do for me.
Yep. Imagine.
But imagine that your romantic partner...
was a pilot?
No, loves you at like an instinctual level, right? Yeah. Now, and I think perhaps this is another thing that I don't think people said it explicitly, but I think there are a lot of folks out there who are not fans of Battelle, of Captain Battelle, and by extension are not fans of Pike having a relationship with Dr. Battelle, and by further extension...
Why don't they like Battelle? There's nothing offensive about
Battelle. Well, let's leave that aside for now. Let's just stipulate. We will stipulate for the court.
She doesn't seem like a very controversial character, but she,
I also would agree with you, Dan. I'm confused in part. I'm largely confused by this reaction to Battelle, but I have noticed that there are a fair number of people who have...
they want Pike.
...sincerely held beliefs... that they don't like Captain Battelle. And as
I hold
a result,
these beliefs to be self-evident.
And as a result, I think they, and this may feed into some people's reaction to this episode, I think if you are starting with the position that Captain Battelle is just not somebody you find very interesting, if you're starting from that position, then it's going to be a lot harder to buy into the idea that Captain Pike not only is into her in like a let's hang out sense, but is like soulmate in love with her.
He doesn't
to the point where his memories go and instinctually he is drawn to return to her.
Yeah.
Right?
He likes her.
So I'm watching this episode and I totally bought into that and I was fine with that. And so for me, I think that's why the episode sort of holds together well.
Yeah.
But I also think of other people, if they're not seeing that, if they're confused, if they're like not into this relationship and they think that it's not working, it doesn't come across the screen from them for them. I understand why they're like, okay, that makes some other parts of this episode sort of fall apart.
That's interesting. It's just something I hadn't considered about this episode that for some reason I probably should have, but it just didn't occur to me to think about that. I thought about other things, which is not to say that it's bad to think about that. I'm just
what other things?
I can't tell if you're complimenting me or insulting me.
I was thinking about air filters for the HVAC system. I was thinking about
in the Enterprise
new T-shirts. Thinking about things that I need to deal with.
Oh, you mean personally? You mean an HVAC? I thought you meant like the Enterprise.
I was obsessing about that last night. No, they don't use filters. They use like a laser filter that like filters itself and then makes more lasers from it or something. That's an interesting idea because now I'm thinking about it. So I am complimenting you, Patrick. Okay. You're very smart. Yeah, really.
and it's not only my thought. I mean, it's just something that I'm thinking about it when I'm trying to. I like reading other people's comments, and it's always fun when people's comments are in line with you because you're like, oh yay, we're all like everyone's on board, we're all digging this. Mm-hmm. It's of course much more interesting when cogent people are writing up critiques that are not some bullshit nonsense critiques. They're well thought out and they're coming from a position that makes sense, even if it's a different position than I hold. I find it very interesting to try to be like, okay, well, why do they think this? What's causing them to have this position?
She didn't really have much role after the first episode last season until like the very end of the season, right? Yeah. Maybe that's why, because she's kind of been absent. you know, and so there hasn't been a lot of focus on their relationship. The only focus was that one time at the first episode, and that made it seem like it was kind of they were moving on. To me, anyways, it seemed like, oh, well, this is kind of like a fling. The only reason we figured out that it's not just a fling is because of this episode. For like 5 minutes, they did that thing. So I can see that point.
Yeah, or it's been building up a little over time, because even in episode two. Where she played a prominent role. You know, clearly their relationship was...
I don't even remember episode two.
Ad Astra.
Oh, you meant this... I'm sorry. You meant this season.
Episode two of season one.
I was like, I don't remember her in season one.
Man, I don't even have an opinion. Yeah. Okay. How about this? Let's take another quick break.
Why?
Because that's what we have to do. It's just sort of built into the structure of the show. We'll take a quick break, and when we get back, we will conclude our discussion of... Among the Lotus Eaters.
Feels right.
Be right back.
I'll tell you what doesn't have a butt for sure. Greyhounds, they don't have no butt.
Got no butt at all.
He said it like Rodney Dangerfield.
Gorillas almost have butts, but not quite.
Yeah, monkeys are a little different.
What about pandas? Pandas kind of have big flubby butts.
Okay, can we be back from commercial now?
Jesse's, commercial, I'm waiting for Jesse. Don't put this on me.
Okay. Okay, we have welcome back.
Vast difference.
what vast difference does it make?
Welcome back.
It makes a vast difference.
Welcome back to the most mature of the Star Trek podcasts and all the Star Trek podcasting ecosystem. This show, the It's Got Star the Trek podcast, dignified. Is by far the most mature. And yeah. Oh, ooh, ha. Huh.
Duties come first.
Duties. So, duties come first. Okay. Other things going on in this episode.
Author things.
Or things that are not going on in this
Zach
episode.
Zach was a yeoman.
Yeah, Zach was
There's
a yeoman.
There's not much else to say about that.
I guess not. What I was going to reference was what I believe to be a missing plot.
Uh-oh.
And I don't mean like... what I mean is, like, I think there is something.
What
that
do you mean?
Okay, let me start over. I think that there is a plot that was maybe written, maybe even filmed, I don't know, but that was not included, relating to Dr. Mbenga and him wrestling with the concept of losing the memory of his trauma, which is similar to what Luke was dealing with. But, you know, because
I can feel it now.
It's hinted at in a couple places, because in the previously on, before this episode started, it referenced him having these like horrible traumatic memories of being in the war.
Right. They did that thing where they wipe the tear away from the eye or the ash across. I don't know quite what that's supposed to be, but it's like either rubbing ash on their eye or wiping a tear away or some kind of thing.
Well, whatever it is, the trauma was referenced.
Right. And it's like fucks with him because it's like he's a doctor and like of all things, first of all, a doctor doesn't want to be on an away mission to beat some ass. And like second, it's like he's good at it because of some traumatic shit.
Yeah. You know? So that's another aspect where it's like, okay, he's now being put into a situation where again, he may have to resort to violence, which is something that he clearly has some philosophical issues
he
with.
Fucking his own kicks ass, though.
Well, that's the thing is he understands Dr. Mbenga is a healer who also has a tremendously high capacity for violence.
He's a paladin.
Okay, yes. Yes. What's a paladin? Yes, yeah, but the point being is there is this rich sort of character stuff going on here. But then there's nothing actually in the episode really that's other than that. He's talking about how he's forgetting stuff. There's a little bit when he's talking to Luke.
He's a warrior cleric.
Where he's all saying like, dude, you want to forget? It's important to remember. But I don't know. It just felt to me like there was something that there was supposed to be more with Mbenga that I don't know if it got cut out or was never filmed or whatever. It just feels like this story was set up for something a little bit more with him going on and for whatever reason is not in the final product.
Because the Luke story, it's true. It showed, you know, what he was struggling with, but it would have been better, right, if it tied in somehow with what Mbenga was dealing with. That would have
maybe been... or at the very least it seemed like maybe it was supposed to, and it's like only like there's like a little thread that's not quite connecting there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, they were. Well, I'm saying they were exploring the idea of like trauma and the importance of remembering the bad shit and all that stuff. So yeah I don't know. I thought. I also watching the episode. I thought that perhaps there would be some kind of Spock situation where it's like, you know how they have it when like everyone loses the thing, but then the thing doesn't get affected by that thing because they don't have the thing that affects
Data
the other
is people's. Not affected because of being an android, or Spock because of his copper blood.
Copper blood.
Yeah. I don't know if...
gets him every
time. I mean,
time.
He's half human, so like... But I mean, the idea... Like, what is a Vulcan left with if they're stripped of logic? You know, what does a Vulcan do on that fucking...
They're really strong.
They probably they might go strong. They might be like go into super overdrive.
They
like,
can run really fast.
They might go into super overdrive.
Mega Ponfar.
They might go into super overdrive demon sort of kill you Vulcan. Yeah, Mega Ponfar.
They
could
do
sure.
some sick jumps.
Yeah, they could do some sick junks. They could do some sick jumps. Just saying, because like if something doesn't have emotions, what happens when you take away? Or if something does already doesn't have them? No, if something doesn't have lock. Wait a second. If something doesn't have emotions and only has logic, what are they left with when you take away the logic in the case of the Vulcans? Because they do actually have emotions buried deep. Would that shit like come out and they'd be like, rah! Well, yeah. Or would they just be like nothing, just sitting there like, I don't know what to do?
I think they'd be all right.
I think it's another underappreciated, potentially underappreciated aspect of this episode is that they reference a couple times that you get to know a little bit of the true person when they're under the effect of this radiation business. And Spock does not revert to a primitive, emotional, violent monster creature, which is what he's been afraid of, right? Mm-hmm. Since in the very first episode. In the very first episode, he was concerned in the Broken Circle, the first episode. Sort of this season, he was concerned about maybe losing control because of his emotions. But in this case, when he does get the radiation that erases his memory, he's still acting all super chill, logical.
He
Spock.
Just can't remember how to read, basically.
But it
and he doesn't remember that Ortegas is a pilot.
His nature is about about being chill and logical. So that is something that is core to him.
So
and likewise, Ortegas has a little bit of fear about stuff, but she's most comfortable when she's in control of the ship. She doesn't like being out of control.
I guess it
abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of how seriously you want to take
abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Did you hear what I did? Yes. The thing. But I actually was making a point.
I mean, I'm hoping you get to the point.
I hope there's a point.
The point being is that
I was all intrigued by the conversation.
It's how literally do you want to take Pike's statement at the end when he was like, the planet doesn't just make you weird, it shows us who you really are. I mean, is that just a rewording of saying it takes away your logic and plays does shows just your emotions, or is it something is there a slight sort of difference? Is there a sort of a nuanced difference between only being emotional and only showing who you are? Is there a nuanced difference from that, or is that the same idea? Is there a difference between me just being purely who I am or me just being purely emotional? And if it's the case that they are the same, then I guess I don't know. But if they're not the same... If Pike was going for something different, then it would make sense that Pike would be right, because Spock didn't become a ball of emotions. Like he did, like you said, Patrick, he became what more Pike described, which was just who he really was. That's what I was sort of getting around to.
I think that's the position the episode is taking. Whether that's a position that's supportable in reality with a scenario that's unlikely to happen in real life.
Well,
but
it's fun. It's the point is to sort of ponder and muse about them.
Of course, I know. That's sci-fi. I get it. What I'm saying is that absent any connection to reality, when I was just looking at it purely from the philosophical standpoint, the episode is saying, it shows you who you are. So it's saying that Zach was a mercurial, megalomaniacal little shit. Or at least in the context of when his shit gets threatened, he's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to stay on top. So that was Zach's deal. Other people react like in the case of Pike. Yeah, Pike was beating the shit out of Zach, but he was trying to protect his people. Right.
So
he was desperate
to
save
Pike's always all about
La'an.
Yeah. So,
and And he only got confused basically when he was like, oh, wait a second, here's Zach. I also want to protect you because you're one of my people. Even though you fucked up, you're still one of my people.
So it shows you who you really are, but it also just so happens to take away all your logic. See, that's what I'm just saying. It's the same idea.
I'm starting to come around to the idea, I don't know if you're stating this explicitly, that the sort of the foundational question of this episode is a little bit silly.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I thought it was an interesting idea, but like it was, but it's they, but no,
it's a little bit silly.
No, but I mean, I think like what I said before, I think it's an interesting yes, it's silly, it wouldn't happen, but like it's an interesting concept, sort of a philosophical question of like, what would that be like? Now that the way, but when Pike introduced at the end, when he was saying it shows you who you really are, that's when I started getting like, I was like, okay, I was on board and I get what you're saying, but at the same time that like kind of muddies the water for me a little bit for what you've been presenting this whole episode. I guess it was just kind of like summing it up in a way, a clever way that was supposed to be like, ah, I see it's just who you are, but for me it just kind of confused me a little bit.
I'm more confused now than I was previously. So, but you know, which is an argument in favor of your position, because if it were not confusing, then I should my
because he brought up so many good points to challenge your thinking.
Yes,
good.
Precisely.
We do that.
Going back to the Ortegas business, right? I thought that was a really interesting and really great scene.
I'm Lieutenant Erica Ortega.
Yes. The series of scenes where at first she's just like fucking terrified. She's like, I have no idea what's going on here. And
I fly the ship.
She retreats to the safety of her room.
Fly the ship?
She has enough instinctual ingenuity to sort of figure her way out to get to this.
Fly the ship?
This cocoon of safety.
Fly the ship.
And then she starts freaking out because it's like,
America Ortega.
She's like, I don't want to die.
I fly the ship.
I don't want to die like this, right?
Oh, that's this one.
I fly the ship?
That's when she starts freaking out.
No, I'm saying before that, she's just worried about dying. She's like, I can't remember exactly, but it was something along the lines of like, I don't want to die this way.
When she was like,
ready to die kind of thing.
Right. When she was all in there and telling the computer to save her life.
And that's disturbing. I mean, it was like, you can imagine, it's like, you have no idea what's going on. You've lost your memory. You've lost time. There's a bunch of fucking space rocks out the window. Mm-hmm. And you're like, am I going to fucking kick the bucket? But she was able to pull herself together sort of through deduction and working with the computer, figuring out who she was and realizing, oh shit, I'm the person who has to do this. And it's
Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship.
So they're defining the Ortegas character by the combination of she has a deep fear, but she has this bravery, and her bravery is strong enough to overcome whatever that fear is, because she's like, oh, as soon as she was like, oh shit, it's me.
Yeah.
She was like, all right, I gotta fucking go do this. And she psyched herself up for it with her little mantra about being the person who flies the ship.
Wow. I'm Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship. I'm Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship. I am Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship.
I am Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship.
I'm Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship.
You know how to operate this.
Yes. I think so.
After all that, she's like... I think so. I think I got it.
Yeah, probably.
She should have just told Spock and been like, yeah, the computer told me. The computer told me I can fly the ship. She should have led with that. She shouldn't have been like, oh,
He was like, I believe you.
He did. But like, if it were me, I would have led with the computer said I did. Plus, I feel like I can. That would have made Spock feel probably a little better. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
But that's not the point. That's not what they're
doing. I don't think you always have to be looking out for Spock's feelings all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he can take it.
He can take it. Because you're just so worried for him. You don't want to be embarrassed for him. You don't want to be like, Spock, your emotions are showing. Yeah. The Vulcans are going to be laughing at you.
Well, and they had that slightly awkward setup where it was like Ortegas was mad at Spock. They wanted to have that scene where she's like, I'm mad at you, so maybe it means it's your fault, whatever happened.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to understand that actually, no, the reason she's mad at him is because of her being pulled off of the assignment because of information he discovered.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even think about that. Right? But yeah,
she was bitter at that. Now, the only problem with that is, like, I don't really buy that Ortegas would be actually mad at Spock because of the facts of this of what's going on. It's like he discovered this was the case of the terrible rock
business. Felt so bad for her. She was like all ready to go. She was so excited. She had the hat and everything.
But okay, it's like, all right, you got to suspend disbelief because they wanted to do this little gimmick. I'm not 100% sure if it was worth it because, again, I don't, but my Ortegas would be that. That I could see her being frustrated generically, but targeting Spock, I don't know, it seems a little bit weird.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that statement. You know,
you tend to agree.
I tend to agree. That's my way of extending.
So when that statement has come up previously in your personal life, you have tended to agree with it.
I was saying that to stretch out what I was saying, so it gave me time to think about what I was going to say next.
The filler maneuver.
Zach was a yeoman. Did we talk about that yet?
Yes, you mentioned that at least Zach twice now, yeoman. Possibly three times.
Tomorrow, no one will remember. Oh, yeah. When Zach
made the coffee.
When Zach goes like, tomorrow, no one will remember. When he's talking to Pike, he goes, no one will remember. And he points at Pike and he goes, including you. And then he sends the soldiers after him. When he sends the soldiers after him, do you see he does this little shimmy slide? He's like, with his thumbs, he's like, no one will remember. It points at Pike, including you. And then he goes like, with his thumbs. He like goes like, and then the soldiers come after him at the very end.
I didn't notice. You
watch the shimmy slide he does with his fingers.
Watch this episode again. Keep an eye out for the old shimmy slide.
So look for tomorrow. No one will remember, including you.
Yeoman Zach's shimmy slide.
Shimmy slide.
Did you notice that
Zacharias?
Did you notice that when Pike was in disguise, he parted his hair the other way?
No,
This is not an original observation. This is all over the old internet.
I did not.
People notice this. Multiple people notice this.
Good for you.
And it's kind of funny.
Hair saga.
When you see it, when somebody points it out to you, and you're like, he's like undercover, so you're like,
right?
He's like combing it the other way.
It's like Spock when he in the mirror universe had a
beard.
Or Superman has some glasses. He parts his his hair the other way. It was they went undercover, and that was the whole reason they thought they worked in the field, right? Because their undercover garb was too good. It was too good, and everyone was like, "You work here." But then he was all smart. He's like, "Nuh-uh, look at my hands. My hands don't do that." And he's like, "You're right. That's crazy. I would have liked to learn. There's a couple things I would have liked to know more about. The totem. I mean, I guess it's kind of self-explanatory. We don't really need to go too far into the totem, but it was kind of like I was intrigued and just whatever. The fruit. There was a piece of fruit, and I didn't know why they talked about that fruit.
Because it got the ink from the fruit.
Yeah, but
the tattoo ink.
Yeah, but it's like, why bother telling us about where they got the ink unless they were going to do something with it? It's like one of those things. That's like, why did you explain that? I don't know.
All
it did is made me want to know more about that fruit.
They could have done a whole memento thing, right? Like they kind of have the half a memento thing because in the movie Memento, the tattoos are an important part about the whole overcoming memory loss.
Quick aside.
These people also use tattoos.
Quick aside. I don't think this is a spoiler, but first time I saw Memento, I was 15 minutes late.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think we went to the same show.
Yeah, and then when I saw it again the second time,
it made a lot more sense.
It blew my mind. I was like watching a different movie. It was weird.
It's one of the reasons why I cannot stand. I can't stand it. If I'm late to a movie, I'm just not going in.
I'm right there with you.
I'm eating the tickets. I'm going to go see it another time.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Can't handle that. But yeah, I think you and I were both the late first. We were probably up to some sort of tomfoolery or shenanigans.
Hanging out deep in the multiplex parking lot. Giant parking lot.
In the back.
That now houses like a million people because of...
Do they have a million people?
I don't know how many people live in that area, but it's pretty expensive people.
A zillion people?
A zillion.
What else remains to discuss about this particular episode? I did like the music. The music was also very TOS. There were some horns and wiggle woggles and like
wiggle-woggles. It's funny, the TOS music style is more of like these little 10-15 second little jaunts, these little things, and then now it's more scores and things. But the TOS was always like something happens and it's like
that's the best.
It is the best. TOS has the best music.
I meant to mention this last episode. But this is applicable, however you want to say it, to all the SNW.
Tinnitus or tinnitus.
It's funny to say SNW because that has more syllables than Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds.
Bubble use.
Everyone's eyes in every episode, everyone's eyes are always so sparkly. They look like they're filled with, like, they put eye drops in their eyes.
You think they just put a bunch of glycerin in their eyeballs?
I don't know what's going on, because it doesn't happen with any other series. I've not noticed it in any other series.
It's some sort of special eyeball technology.
Maybe. I didn't notice in Picard. I noticed, maybe, I'll have to go back and see, but it only ever jumps out at me when I watch SNW.
It's part of the SNW Bible, the document that describes how this show is supposed to be structured.
It's their part of their white paper.
They've all got to have glistening eyeballs.
Yeah, it's what lets you know you're watching Star Trek SNW.
Maybe the craft services table is just heavy on the onions.
Oh.
And it's just sort of a side effect of that.
Yeah.
They have a lot of like onion pies. A
lot of onion pies.
Onion loaf. Bloomin' onion.
Sounds delicious.
Bloomin' onion. I'm always like,
onion.
I remember always being like, I'm gonna get a whole bloomin' onion. I'm gonna eat the whole bloomin' onion.
No,
you get
not.
Like a quarter of the way through.
Nobody eats a whole bloomin' onion.
But you want to when you see it.
You gotta have help with that one.
Yeah. So they don't, the people inside, they sleep, but the people outside, they forget.
The people inside
sleep.
Yes.
In absence of sleep, the people outside forget. Yeah. So somehow they recharge by forgetting. They don't sleep. So does that mean they just keep working 24 hours a day? They say they sleep. We forget.
They slept.
That's what they said. You can't tell me what it is when that's all they said. Okay. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say when they sleep, that's when they forget or something like that. But I'm saying I heard the line and this is how I'm interpreting.
All right.
I'm not reading between any lines here. I'm taking it literally.
You're being obtusely literal.
No, I don't think so. I think it's implied that instead of sleeping, they just forget. And so that's part of the draw is that their mind shuts down, which allows them to keep working though, so they can get more work out of their dudes.
Know, it could be. There's no particular reason for it not to be.
And like, what's working 24 hours straight if you only remember the last 8 of it, you know?
Yeah, it does sound really horrible.
Yeah, it does.
You'd think their bodies would be all miserable and breaking down.
You're probably...
Maybe they are.
You're probably right, though. It probably is just like they forget when they sleep, but you know, that's probably just them talking, talk. But
maybe that guy was only like 30 or something.
Whoa. You're saying they old?
But he had such a hard life.
Yeah, because he's awake all day long.
Mm-hmm. it's sounding more dystopic by the minute. Okay. Anything else?
That laser battle between Pike and Zach.
Yeah.
He blocked it with a dinner platter.
Yes, that was cool.
It was like, I was like, those lasers, it's like, that's when you want a bullet, right? Okay. That's when you want a fucking gun, because like, you can't block that with a dinner platter.
Well, you've reminded
me. Maybe if you held it with both hands, but he was holding it with like one hand and it just kind of bounced off.
Well, and then the second shot, it knocked it out of his hand. Mm-hmm. It was a better shot. But that reminds me to comment on the production design. The alien planet stuff, that's cool, but it's also cool that they were stomping around a medieval castle looking shit.
I know,
and
they had laser guns
and it
shit.
Was reminding me of Lower Decks, and one of the things that we talk about with Lower Decks and Prodigy and the animated series is the nearly unlimited amount of production value, quote unquote, that you can have in the animated format, because you can draw all sorts of crazy big giant things with crazy scale and stuff and super details. And in Lower Decks, of course, they have the whole plot line of the medieval ship, the spaceship that's like a medieval place, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But now on Strange New Worlds, they've almost caught up in some way to some degree with the animated format, in that their use of all the new special effects options that they have at their disposal, they're really putting them to good use. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome to watch, like them, Captain Pike just having a laser fight in a medieval castle.
That was cool. Although I think when they were hammering stones or minerals or whatever with those big giant sledgehammer things,
yeah,
they did a close up shot and you saw this dust come up when they hit it. I think that dust was CGI.
Probably.
I think it was
often CGI dust and CGI
CGI blood sometimes. Blood for sure.
It's hard to work with dust, you know.
Yeah, you don't know what it's
blowing around.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Dustiness.
Full of dust.
I personally really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was fun, classic style. It was adventure. I watched it a few times in a row and was entertained both.
You're
times.
Certain this.
Do you like how he says certain?
You are certain this is not a violation of the Prime Directive, sir. You are certain this.
Certain.
Certain.
I do see where it maybe it left a few people a little bit cold, and particularly if you're not buying into, you know, Pike, you know, having a soulmate level connection to Captain Patel. I can see this
episode having. That.
Yeah, me neither. But I could also respect that if you're not getting that vibe, then maybe this episode's not going to work for you. Also, they took their sort of most straightforward, simplistic version of this story, which again is fine. I thought it all worked very nicely and felt kind of old school, and that was fun. But yeah, there were maybe a few little opportunities they could have expanded on here or there and made things a little bit more interesting. But all in all, I thought this was another great and very entertaining episode of Strange New Worlds. I've really been enjoying this season so far. Mm-hmm. But basically, I think, you know.
Yeah, I've been enjoying
it
too.
I'd say so too.
I like that they didn't spend too much time talking about what it was that was causing the problems. It was fine. Like, even Chapel even guesses near the beginning. It's just like, it's probably some radiation or something. And like, it totally was. And I know in other times I've expressed sort of like, I wish they gave a little more. But in this case, it really felt like, yeah, you don't really need to know anything else other than it's some radiation. That's not the point. The point is more towards, which is in direct contrast with some things I've said about other episodes in the past.
Sometimes it depends on the structure of the story they're trying to tell and what they're trying to get at. And in this case, they wanted to play around with the idea. It was like, what do people feel at their core? And yeah, I can see how that kind of story is going to have sort of a varying mileage for different people coming from different perspectives.
Couple quick notes. When they were fighting, when Lon was fighting the guard and kicking his ass, or was that in Benga? I don't know. When someone kicked that guard's ass, the second guard joined in, but not until after the first guard got their shit fucked up.
Well, that's standard Hollywood fight protocol.
Right. So everyone, he didn't want to break the rules.
Yeah.
So
you can get like eight guys surrounding like some people fighting. It's like, oh, you can only fight one at a time.
Right. Section G, what's her name? Ortega's room was in section G, room 629.
Deck six.
It was turn right at junction 6B9, which sounds like something else.
I mean, a little bit.
6B9?
6B9.
Sounds like something else. 6B9, dudes.
Yeah, it sounds like benign, as in it is
harmless. No, you know what
benign
I'm...
Benign as in harmless.
You know what I'm saying.
Right. You said three notes? Was there one final...
I did say a few, but I don't know. Oh, there was a funny Spock moment I didn't record, but it was just when they're going to the asteroids, he was like, it'd be wise to avoid that. You know, that was a funny Spock moment. And I guess you could call the part where he's like, don't shoot the messenger, and she was like, Spock, no one to shut up, like Ortega's. I guess you could call that a funny Spock moment.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess you could.
Right. A little bit.
All right. So that I think will do it for us this week. Next week,
I'm Lieutenant Erica Ortegas.
Next week,
Patrick.
Yes, I am Patrick. Next week, we will be discussing
that thing you do,
Star Trek: Strange New Worlds, Season 2, Episode 5. Doing that thing you do. Which goes by the old handle charades. So who knows where that's going to be.
It's not charade, it's charades.
I knew you were going to.
Yeah, you know me, Jesse.
Charades.
Tonight your forgetting will be easier.
I hope so. I kind of hope so.
Every night have our forgetting.
Yeah, I hope we forget all the pain.
But yeah, so we'll discuss charades next week.
I am past the need to remember.
In the meantime,
I think they can shock you.
Don't forget to check me out on Crusher Convo episode 9.
Check me out.
Yeah, check me out.
You?
Well, I mean, I'm on there with.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you ain't on there. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about like a Twitter feed or something.
Oh no. But
speaking
of Twitter and social media in general,
I don't know any of you.
We are in the midst of the social media wars, but
each other our whole lives.
Until the dust settles down, you can find us pretty much everywhere on social media at It's Got Star Trek. That's Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky Social and Threads and Mastodon and YouTube and Facebook and all that jazz.
I can feel it now.
It would be super fantastic if you happen to have the time to leave a polite and nice review.
You're talking about love.
I mean, you can leave whatever type of review you like, but nice ones.
Stop
that would be
saying I'm going to die.
That would be super great. And of course, yes, you can reach us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or check out our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com, where one of the great features of the website, in addition to the search function, is that you can sort all our podcast episodes by topic.
Please come down.
By series, etc. And that might help you find some episodes that you might want to listen to.
Jesus.
I don't even know what that was.
Like, it was a sound called Zach Shot_Lou Fiw. That might have been a typo. I have no idea what L-O-O-F-I-W.
Oh, lo-fi? Is it like low quality?
I don't think it was, though. I don't think that's what my intention was. Zach Shot and then _LOOFIW. I have no idea what I was trying to say there. Wow. But I think it was when Zach got shot. It was
we may never know Zach the answer to.
I don't know why ultimately. I fucking...
Okay, so we look forward to watching and then discussing charades next week.
Or
so,
charades.
Until then, we hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you then. Goodbye.
I'm Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship.
Affirmative.
I am Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship. I fly the ship? I am Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship. I am Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship.